Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Texas Business Journals. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. We open the year with our 150th episode and a feature from our Texas 100. Business leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs from Houston, San Antonio, Austin, and North Texas who are moving the needle. In this download, Dallas Business Journal Managing Editor Rob Schneider features a leader in the game-based learning metaverse.
Taylor Shedd is founder and CEO of Stemuli Studios, an ed tech startup that is creating an educational metaverse, which turns school into a video game, basically. She was also a Woman in Business honoree for us this summer. We're going to talk to Taylor about her startup and her fascinating career. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, excited to be here.
So tell me about Stemuli Studios and what it does.
Yeah, so the way we describe Stemuli Studios is we're a gaming company at the intersection of AI, education, and workforce development. So saying that another way, we are developing a technology that we hope can provide a pathway to an intellectually and financially fulfilling career for every learner that touches our platform.
Your entrepreneurial career started when you were a college athlete at Loyola Marymount. Can you talk about what happened and what drove you to want to build a business?
Yeah, absolutely. So just for context, I'm 33 years old now. When I graduated from high school, it was 2007. And what's most notable about that year is the iPhone came out later that year. So I'm in college. I'm pursuing a degree for pre-medicine because I was really passionate about helping people. And the best way I thought I could do that was by becoming a reconstructive plastic surgeon. I'm sitting in chemistry class one day, the teacher's at the front of the room, and I'm literally like completely zoned out. And when I come back in, I'm like, this is math. And somebody didn't tell me that math was going to be so critical to my pathway in pre-medicine. At the time, it was so clear to me I didn't have the math skills that I needed. So one, I didn't have the academic skills. Two, I was experiencing a lot of like anxiety and depression, dealing with a variety of different factors from leaving home at the age of 17, living in LA. I didn't get great help and support there. And then I had some amazing mentors in my life at the time, just happenstance from a network of friends that said, Taylor, what do you think was going to happen? You're going to graduate from college and end up at the top of the food chain? And admittedly, I did think that's what was going to happen. So at that time, they encouraged me to look at how I could use my personal experience to build a business that provided great value and service to people. And so at 19, I had a mentor in LA that was telling me, practice my elevator pitch, write your business plan, get your vision out there. And then the next significant thing happened is another friend who was working for Disney as a software engineer at the time. I would always go to him and say, hey, Moses, I'm thinking about doing this with technology. Can this happen or can that happen? And finally he said, Taylor, you've asked me the same question a million times. You can literally do anything you want to with technology. The only limitation is your creativity. So that's what led me to starting my business at 19. I lost my scholarship. Let me be frank. I lost my scholarship. And as you know, with student athletes, when we get to the point where we're not doing our sport anymore, that's its own level of depression. And so ultimately, I decided I didn't want anybody else to experience the failure that I had felt, you know, making it to the goal that you had, but not having the skills and the knowledge and the wisdom and resources to reach your goal and sustain the goal that you've made it to.
Walk me through your career before starting Stemuli. What were you doing? Did you immediately come back to Dallas after college or where did you go?
Yeah, I can talk about that. So again, I dropped out of college. It was probably like end of sophomore, beginning of junior year. I was living in Playa del Rey, a cozy little beach town right next to the LAX airport. And I actually started a business under a terrible brand name by the name of John David Enterprises. What was notable about that company is we raised about $300,000. And our first investor was a guy by the name of Greg Bestick, who used to run the learning company. So the learning company is most notable for creating Reader Rabbit and Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. I have a letter that I'll send you in 2012 where Greg is saying Taylor's vision to transform education will completely leapfrog all of the applications that are out there today. And the only reason John David Enterprises didn't meet the vision we had at the time is because we were so early for the market at the time with the ideas that we had. So my investors and the advisors said, Taylor, if you want to keep raising more money and do this thing, you need to go prove to us that you can sell into large school districts. So at that time, my parents are calling me, telling me, you're spending so much money in LA, come home to Dallas. When your right. dad moved his business to Dallas is when the revenue and everything skyrocketed. You have this really large school district in Dallas Independent School District that's local. Try and build relationships there. And so I moved back to Dallas, let's say in about 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. At the time I was working for Apple in B2B sales. I was transitioning from like, what is this old business? What is this new business going to be? And so I worked for Apple for about 3 years. And one thing that is extremely notable about my return to Dallas is I got a call from the Dallas Independent School District saying, hey, we're starting this new innovative program called Pathways to Technology, Early College High Schools, PTEC. Mm-hmm. We are looking for businesses, technology businesses local to Dallas that are willing to partner with us for 4 to 6 years and work side by side with our students to teach them as much as possible about the workplace while they're here in our high schools. And for an entrepreneur, you wait for opportunities and waves like that to say, like, come here, join us. So we came on board as an industry partner at that time. And to make a long story short, year one, I'm going in and working with students every Friday, teaching them a logic and leadership curriculum. Mm-hmm. By the end of the year, I talked to the kids and I'm like, what's your favorite field trip? What's your favorite career pathway? What have you discovered after a year of this amazing program? And they look at me and say, Ms. Taylor, all we know is you and Stimuli. So that began the impetus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, Stimuli, then decide going to the district and saying, if you want to be able to scale this phenomenal program, then let's build a technology side by side that can allow the Fortune 500 companies to interact virtually with your students. And we'll give you all the data behind the engagements, how the students are progressing. So that was really the big break, if you will, for Stimuli, is getting a part of that Dallas ISD PTEC program, and serving them went so well that we spread to other school districts across North Texas. Sure. And some on the East Coast. So I know you probably have some more questions, but that's...
Oh, yeah, no. Well, and it's one thing. It'd be one thing if it were a small school district, but it's another thing to partner with Dallas Independent, one of the largest school districts in Texas, one of the largest school districts in the country. So correct me if I'm wrong on this, but so you were always in ed tech and you always had a vision, but the technology probably wasn't necessarily there when you started out and you had to kind of wait for the technology to get where you were, or with, how that?
Yeah, I'll say that a little differently. So at the time, I'm not a coder. Me and our employee number two jokingly call ourselves Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. So I'm definitely on the job side where I have
right.
all of the ideas and all the connections a lot of people aren't making. I share that with you because with my first business, I didn't have a technical co-founder by my side.
Yeah.
And so one, I was constrained with capital because every dollar I raised, I would have to spend it in order to develop the platform. What was new with Stimuli is I recruited a buddy from Apple to work with me, and we were able to develop this product, you know, starting with $0 in our pocket, just our time and effort to develop. So that was one of the major transitions, is one, actually being able to develop the vision instead of just talking about the vision. And then two, it was so early on with schools at that time, even when I first started making contact with schools in Dallas, they would tell me, Taylor, do you know how transient our population is? Everything you're saying you want to do is where we want to be, but we're so far from that, that your technology isn't even what we need right now. So that was very, very on in the early days as far as why the first enterprise didn't pan out in the way that Stimuli has now panned out.
You were the ideas person and you needed that technical person to get this started. How did Stimuli start? In what, 2015, 2016, or around that time?
June 1st, 2016 is when we officially assigned our paperwork.
Okay, so how did Stimuli start? What was your vision for it then, and how has it changed? Where is it now?
Yeah, phenomenal question. So the name Stimuli was, our company was branded Stimuli because we wanted to make science, technology, engineering, and math more engaging. At the time, what we thought about is how could you build curriculum that featured professional sports organizations and really cool brands that would make the learning more relevant and engaging for students. So first the idea was just like, let's make some projects centered around cool companies that can get kids excited in STEM. The schools were not interested in that. The schools were not interested. They thought it was a cool idea, but again, it was so far from really meeting the need of what they wanted that that idea by itself wasn't going to unlock it. So as far as how the vision changed, what we then began to do next is connect Fortune 500 companies and students through virtual mentorship. And now where we are today, which seems drastically different, but still meeting the same mission, is we have developed a gaming platform. So think of Fortnite, think of Minecraft, Roblox, that kids can actually go into and an AI bot or navigator, if you will, helps guide the student turn by turn through every learning activity that they need to accomplish in order to move from where they are academically to what their goal might be. Their goal might be just reading or writing on grade level, but in our vision at Stimuli, since we care so much about career readiness, we're expanding the destination to be, can we take a kid in sixth grade and develop a pathway for them to prepare to become a UX or UI designer or a cloud developer, AI data scientist? So video games are different.
Right.
The presence of AI and machine learning is drastically different. And then originally when we started our work, again, it was focused on career readiness. But what we recognized is science and math classes are so boring in the way that they're set up today. And right. It's so hard for kids to understand those abstract concepts that's another new entry for Stimuli is saying, we're going to go all the way into the core classroom and we're going to bring career readiness into it. We're going to bring gaming into it. So kids now can visualize what math looks like instead of trying to visualize it just by words and text as it is done today.
So gamifying school, was that concept always there? Obviously something like the metaverse, we had no idea in 2015 that was going to be there. But was the gamifying concept always there, and or has that evolved into that, or how did that evolve into that?
Yeah. So did I know in 2016 when we opened the company that I would be sitting here today with a video game company? Absolutely not. But again, with the idea of Stimuli being let's engage, let's energize the subject, the commitment we had from the beginning is that we would do anything it meant in leveraging the greatest, latest technologies in order to stimulate science, technology, engineering, and math. But something pretty notable is after we built this virtual classroom for Dallas ISD in the summer of 2020, in August of 2020, I got a call from Sean Brinkman, who's now the chief technology officer in Dallas ISD. And he said, I don't know why I'm calling you and telling you this, but something told me to let you know, if you want to do something no one else in the world has done, see if you can build school in a video game. Mm-hmm. Now, the story has written itself. A year later, we launched the country's first, educational metaverse with Dallas Hybrid Prep. But that was one of the strong impetuses, that phone call from a friend saying, do this thing, and us just being a nimble startup. I said, yeah. All right, I don't know, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to research it. And it obviously wasn't a bad idea.
Awesome. All right. So as best we can in an audio format, let's try to explain what the game is, or what a student, maybe give me an example of what a student be doing in this video game as school concept versus a more traditional environment.
Sure. First and foremost, if you look at the technology behind the game, what we're leveraging is the power of online communities. Many of us know that during the pandemic, you had kids that were staying connected in community through games like Fortnite. So that's one of the major things that we want to leverage.
Yeah.
In our platform. Now, if you were to walk through a day in the life of the student or your first login, you log in and you create an avatar that can be so diverse that it can be whatever skin color you want to have, whatever eye color, whatever cool hairstyle and outfit you want to wear. The first thing is you can personalize this character to be you in this 3D immersive environment. The next thing that's really cool is this is behind a protected wall. So you and I are not able to go to this platform and just sign up because we're interested. Students are using their school ID to sign into the platform, which means they're in the environment with their classmates, with who the school and the parent already knows that they're interacting with. So it's a safe, protected place for these kids. So they're able to run up to one another and have voice conversations, have chat conversations, participate in projects with one another. They're able to develop products that they're buying and selling with one another. But let's get to the learning part, and let's get to what keeps the kids coming back. As a learner, when you're using this system, there's some diagnostics that are taken. And so what that means is you're in the system and it might ask you to solve a math problem, or it might ask you to complete some sort of English assignment. And we're doing that because we want to understand exactly where the learner is. What do they know in math? What do they know in science? And so once we understand where they are and what their starting point is, that's where our AI starts to navigate the learner to say, hey, here's the next academic quest or mission we want you to complete into our world. So what might that look like? That might look like a student being told to run up to the spaceport and interact with an astronaut. And then the astronaut is giving the student the assignment to help him calculate how much gasoline a ship might need to take off. And so in this immersive environment, you see the student running up to the astronaut, being given some instructions and a mission to complete. And then the student is using math in order to complete that real world mission. And if they do it right, you'll see the space shuttle take off. So the bottom line is take everything students are needing to practice on a day-to-day basis to continue growing their math or science or English language arts skills. That all is taking place in our video game and our metaverse through these little missions and quests. I can go into more detail on some of the other fun things that they can do, but I just wanted to kind of break down what learning looks like.
Sure. And talk about the benefits of that versus a traditional, just, you know, what people would think of as a traditional classroom. And are they, I assume they're learning more, they're certainly interacting more. Talk about that, with the benefits.
Yeah. Let me give the audience some background information on education that I'm obsessed with and I pay attention to. So right now, our poor school districts are getting the lowest amount of funding, and that's because of property taxes in the area. With that and the teacher shortage, our school districts have an all-time ratio of teacher to students. And then because that ratio is so high, where you might have one teacher teaching like 30 to 50 students, there's never classrooms of 50 students, but still it's very large.
Sure.
Then engagement in the class, it said that 2 out of 3 K through 12 students disengage from class every day. And that's happening because one, you have the learners who are so accelerated, they've mastered the topics in class, so they're zoned out because they've gotten everything. Yeah, the people in the middle who's on the fringes who are just trying to understand what's happening. The school is very focused on them, trying to get them over that hump. So the school is making their ratings and getting their funding. And then you have the learners who are so far behind and they're completely checked out. They're like me in chemistry class. They have no idea what's going on.
Right.
So because there's so much disengagement, the results are now showing that math and science scores are at an all-time low. And because math and science scores are at an all-time low, we have less than 30% of our high school seniors who go to college ever graduating with any sort of post-secondary degree. And then the very last data point on all of this is if the U.S. doesn't fill its tech workforce with skilled workers, we're going to start losing out on $168 billion in annual revenues just because we can't staff workers. So now that we kind of understand this dynamic and spectrum of where the problem starts and what it leads to, where stimuli comes in is a couple of different things. One, if everybody would like close your eyes and imagine yourself in a classroom with 30 other students, put yourself in the role of the teacher. You might know every single student's name in the classroom. You might know the latest grade they got on a test. But what I guarantee you is so difficult to know is where every single student in that class is on their learning journey. What have they mastered? What are they missing? That is not something our teachers know in real time on a daily basis. So with our technology, the first thing we're doing is using data to create super teachers, where now one teacher is able to differentiate and personalize instruction for every student that they touch. So that by itself is transformative. The next aspect of it is the actual student learning experience. There are so many students that have undiagnosed disabilities like dyslexia, just as one example. What one school administrator told me is if we could figure out a way to make curriculum and content and education more engaging, we would not feel like we have an increase in special populations, because no matter what disability the learner had, they'd be so engaged in learning that they would figure out how to do it anyway. So that's just one thing to say, that right now, when you're learning from a textbook or a video or a teacher sitting at the front of the classroom, that learning is not adjusted to who you are and what your deficits might be. But when you put kids in a virtual immersive environment where we can start to read data on their preferences and on, okay, if this student just went and did this immersive video game, and all of a sudden they're at mastery a lot faster than the 90% of other students who are learning through a textbook, we know that we should continue serving a video game for this student. And so again, you don't have the ability to assess in a classroom without a technology like this, what is the best way for these individual students to learn? So that's the next thing that this system provides. And the very last thing, the National Institute for Health came out with a report just within the last 60 days that said games actually increase cognitive performance. So now this is moving away from maybe an idea that some gamers had that gaming would be a cool way to learn to actually some of our most reputable agencies coming out and saying we have seen that immersive learning can completely accelerate the rate in which a student is able to learn and retain information.
Taylor Shedd joining us. Next, the question is how to expand when accessibility is an issue. When Texas Business Minds continues.
Texas Mutual Insurance Company cares about your injured employees as much as you do. With our proactive and compassionate workers' comp claims handling, taking care of your people is how we take care of your business. Business is better with Texas Mutual.
So you're already partnered with Dallas ISD in this hybrid prep. Talk about expansion and where you're reaching now. And then I'm going to get into funding here in a second, because I know that that's all tied to that with a startup. Does technology, do you need a really specific technology? I assume that there may be that not every school district has the infrastructure to handle this. Is that correct? Or how do you expand it?
Yeah, well, on accessibility, it was very important for us that we build a technology that could be deployed into any large public school district. Mm-hmm. So when you think of our metaverse, don't think of VR first. Think of a gaming platform that's available on all screens. So our application's available on mobile. You can access it via the web, or you can download a desktop app to reach the application. So from an accessibility standpoint, we meet the mark there. The standpoint of where we're expanding to, we have grown so fast in such a short period of time. We are serving Chicago Public Schools through one of the largest college and career access providers in Chicago. We have entered into the PTEC market in New York. We have a close partnership with Brooklyn PTEC, the first one ever to exist across the world. And we're looking to scale throughout the New York Department of Education because of that. And in 2023, we'll reach learners in DC, in Florida, in California, in Colorado, along with Illinois and New York. So again, drastic expansion from where we were just a year ago, really focused on North Texas.
Wow, that's amazing. So along the same lines, you mentioned on your survey to us that you were just the 94th Black woman to raise over $1 million in venture capital. In May, you also got seed funding, $3.25 million. And funding is so important for startups, and funding for companies, especially women of color, I know is much lower than average. So talk about your journey in funding and, you know, the struggles and the successes with that.
Yeah. So one, I just want to give a shout out to my investors. I think they're like world class, some of the best in the world. We have Tim Draper through Draper and Associates invested in us, Slauson and Company out of Los Angeles, and Valor Ventures out of Georgia. So one thing that's interesting to note that I don't necessarily talk about too much is we had a contract with an organization that signed off to pay us $3.2 million to develop this educational platform side by side with Dallas ISD. That organization ran into some funding challenges. So as soon as we launched our pilot with that hybrid school, we found out that we weren't getting any more funds from the people supposed to support rolling out and continuing. And so I bring that up because one, that was right in the middle of the pandemic. I'm talking about our last paycheck during 2021 came in August. And our team was so committed to the mission of supporting the school number one in the community, as well as what we could do for the larger education community. I literally tried to get people to quit and stop working, and they would not stop. They said, no, we're committed to this school. We're going to do this thing. And so I share that with you because if you look at the timeline from August of 2021 till May, that's about 8 months that people working really hard were not paid, but very little scraps because of this bad business deal, if you will. So one, that was a tremendous struggle by itself. Now, when you get into the actual funding aspect of it, people oftentimes with startups talk about product market fit. There's totally a thing on founder investor fit, if you will, or company investor fit. Just to say how that went, I mean, the process there's so many things to get into, like everything they say about, you know, more money, more problems.
Right.
All of that's totally true. And I'm trying to see what angle to take on this. The only thing that I can say is as many people as I talked to that chose to pass on us, the right people said yes. And I'm so thankful for that. The right people said yes.
What's the long-term vision here? Where do you see this going in 5 years? Where would you like for this to be 5, 10 years from now?
One, I want this application to be as ubiquitous as Google Maps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you think about Google Maps, all of us use it almost on a daily basis to navigate us to where we want to go. Why shouldn't learning and education be the same way? Wherever we want to go, we have some map that's navigating us step by step, turn by turn to that destination. So one, that's how ubiquitous I believe this platform can and should be. The second way I would answer that question is to say, if we are successful, what needle will stimuli move? One, we will have all eighth graders passing Algebra 1 before the time they end eighth grade. If eighth graders are able to do that, they're able to pass pre-cal and calculus before they leave high school, which puts them in a lot better trajectory to get a post-secondary degree. The second thing we would do is see an increase in high school graduation rates and a decrease in dropout rates. And the third and probably the biggest goal of them all is we're doing this because we want to eradicate wealth gaps. So whether you look at wealth gaps in the sense of men and women, whether you look at wealth gaps in the sense of Black families versus white families,
right,
that's absolutely our goal, is to develop this lifelong learning application that gives everybody what they need so we can actually start to eliminate the gaps that we have.
When you talk about learning, one of the things I notice is that you always include career readiness in there as well. And so talk about why that is and why that's so important. You've touched on a lot of it, but talk about not just that we want them to pass this standardized test or we want them to pass algebra. It's the career part of this that seems to be integral to stimuli as well. Talk about that.
All of us have heard a student ask the question of, why am I learning this? And oftentimes, they're not given an answer. They're told, you'll find out one day. Well, what we're banking on at Stimuli is if we can expose kids early to all of the career options available to them, which, by the way, a lot of kids in our public schools are not exposed to all of the career options that are available to them, then we're banking that they will continue to persist through high school and through STEM pathways because they can see how their progress on a day-to-day basis is leading them closer to pulling their families out of generational poverty.
I talked long-term, let's talk near-term. What opportunity has you the most excited for 2023 or just over the next year, 18 months?
Well, what really excites me is scale.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we closed a partnership with a guy by the name of Prasad Ram, who was the lead developer on the Google Maps team. And so when I mentioned Google Maps before, that wasn't me just making up a random analogy. But we closed a partnership with their organization that gave us 100% access to their source code, their AI machine learning in order to integrate into our platform. So from one standpoint, I was very excited that from day one, when people start using our system, I can guarantee and assure results that otherwise I would not be able to assure. So one thing is I'm always going to be excited about being able to immediately add value to learners in the school districts. But what else came with that partnership is the ability for us to reach 29 million learners over the next 24 months. So we are definitely in a situation where, yeah, your face says
that. How many are you reaching now? I wanted to know that.
Yeah, today we're reaching between 20 to 50,000 students. Next year, we'll reach 100,000 students. We just found out yesterday that we were funded for a national pilot to reach 100,000 learners. So we're like uber stoked about that going into the new year. And then the 29 million, yeah, that's like, I don't know what the increase of that percentage is, but our partner has scaled to reach 29 million learners, predominantly in the US with some in India. And the platform we're developing is essentially the 2.0 version of this app that they've already scaled. So we're building our app, and our immediate plan as soon as we reach scale is to then take it to the audience and invite those 29 million learners into our video game ecosystem.
Wow, that's really impressive. That'd be quite a jump. That's amazing. Finally, I want to wrap up with, What's the best advice you would share with another woman coming up in your industry or just in a startup? What do you wish you knew at the beginning? What have you learned over these last?
A couple of things come to mind. One is stay the course. So if you have a passion in your heart, you've identified the problem you want to solve as a true problem, not a perceived problem, then no matter what you encounter, whether it's like I said, I get a bad business deal, or it might be an employee leaving, or it might be not having access to funding, no matter what you encounter, pretend like you're a train. And I say a train because train, when they're at high speed, everything's passing by. You can't even differentiate what's passing by, but you're so focused on that North Star and that end goal that everything else just becomes noise. So one is stay the course. Two, you have to expect resistance. There are some principles that Oprah talks about in her podcast. There's other principles out there. But when you have a really big vision or any vision for what you want to become beyond what you already are, there's going to be resistance. To think that it's easy for anybody is a misnomer. Every hard day that you have or will feel, there's other people that have felt that. You're not alone on this journey. Then the last thing is, if you played sports, tap into everything you know about playing sports. Simple analogies is like, people earn Division I scholarships not because they decided in their senior year they're going to work hard to earn a Division I scholarship. Oftentimes you worked hard for 5-10 years in order to just win that scholarship. When you're in the weight room, you're lifting weights, you have this resistance, and it seems like, why am I doing this? But you're building muscle for the fourth quarter. And so it's just a long way of saying that be persistent, expect resistance, and you can win. And I think the last thing that comes to mind is it sounds childish, but you know how like your mom and your grandma tells you, honey, you're not going to have the same friends that you had in grade school. You think they're your best friends and for life, but you don't really have best friends. You shouldn't take things personal, because oftentimes people are doing things because there's something going on with them. But from the sense of not having best friends over a lifetime, what I really make an analogy of is sometimes you outgrow people and it's uncomfortable because you want to bring everybody that was with you from the start along with you. But unfortunately, that's just not the way it works. And so sometimes you're outgrowing people and it's no harm, no foul either way. Sometimes it's hard because they don't want to let go or you don't want to let go. But ultimately, you've got to do what's best for your company and the clients that you serve.
Well, thank you for your time. This has been fascinating, Taylor, and good luck in this next year. And congratulations on all the scale you've already done, and congratulations on the scale that's to come.
Thank you so much.
Stemuli Studios CEO Taylor Shedd joining us. Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Texas Business Journals and brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas.